Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Amber Porter with the Altar Ministry, bringing back revival to America. I'm your host, Amber, and my mother is my co-host, Binda.
Good morning.
And we're here online. I know that this morning we're experiencing a little turbulent weather, so it's kind of going in and out, so I apologize that the signal is not as strong, but we'll just go ahead and go forward with what we're going to be discussing on today. And I was talking about earlier, I had written down on the blog page that anger, when anger rises up, what do we do? I know that it sounds like a silly topic, but I honestly believe that if we focus on the healing process first and the restoration, I honestly do believe that this will cause a revival to begin to stir up, because you have to be healed first before you can go into any other area of your life, to be honest with you. So I would just like to talk about some, you know, just different emotions that we have, you know, anger, why do we have it there, you know, how can we break from it? A lot of people, we have some who are just dealing with life issues and, you know, just going through a tough time in their walk with Christ because of the situations that might be happening. You know, and then we have issues where it's just church hurt, people who've been members for several years. And something may have happened. I don't know, you know, what it may be, but there's different reasons for all things. But something may have happened to cause you to be a little angry towards the ministry. or the pastor or the people there. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of touch base with that because, you know, I don't want anything like that to prevent anybody from their salvation and from their walk with Christ. And so we need to be sure that we try to build that relationship where we're not as affected by the people around us. So we're just going to share a couple of scriptures and just talk today. You know, scriptures that you can go back to help you with how you feel. It's just a couple, you know, it's not a whole lot. Just to kind of keep a reminder in your heart. It's good to say, write the word as on your heart. Your heart be the little tablet and let the word of God, you be the ink to it and let the word of God kind of write on your heart so that you want to keep it in your heart so you can just continue to go back and look at it, you know, when you start to feel a certain way. You know, there's, you know, it's a thin line. There's good anger and then there's inappropriate anger. We're not going to talk about the good anger because we clearly know that the Bible says, you know, to be angry but sin not, whatever that means. That's what I used to say. I used to laugh at that because I'm like, how can you be angry and not sin? Well, you know, the more that I've studied through time, I started to see that, you know, the first thing that we always want to do when we do get mad is, you know, we're ready to use words that aren't exactly the best words to use. You know, which we can call them cussing, but there's some innocent words that we use that kind of make people feel less than who they are, and that's just as bad. That's just as sinful. You know, Jesus, when he came here, that's one thing that he talked about in Matthew's, and this is one of the scriptures that I'm going to go to today, Matthew 5, verse 22. Write that down, because this is just a reminder that even with the simplest words that we use, it could be inappropriate when it comes to dealing with your anger and just really mainly just watching what you say when you are talking. Be very mindful of what you're about to speak before you say anything. And so in Matthew, I was turning to it. It says, but I say unto you, but whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in anger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. So the Lord takes it very seriously, what you say out of your mouth. I'll let you know that Raca, which is spelled R-A-C-A, it means empty-headed, or it was used as a term of dehumanization. I call this like the innocent cuss words. To dehumanize somebody is to deprive them of their human qualities or their personality or their spirit. So we have to be careful that even when we say certain things like, oh, you just don't know, you know, what you're talking about, or, you know, making people feel like they're less than who they are, that's actually the incorrect way. It's inappropriate anger, and this is the type of anger that will have you in trouble, I guess you could say, you know, with the council, the people that you talk to, you know, friends, church members, pastors, you know, whomever. You got to be mindful and that you're not talking down to somebody. See, that's incorrect. A lot of people think, you know, I guess people feel like they get to a certain place in life and don't really consider, you know, other people. You know, just because you may feel like you have arrived to some magnificent place, I don't believe in that, but some people do. It doesn't give you the right or the power to talk down to somebody or make them feel less than who you are just because of what they don't know. Because eventually, you know, people will begin to study God's word, and they will eventually get that wisdom because all wisdom comes from God anyway. So we want to try to always be mindful that we're not, you know, putting people in a place where, you know, they feel like they're not important. So, I mean, these are the things that put you in danger of hell, and I know that nobody wants to go there. So, you know, we want to try to, you know, just be and think about that whenever, you know, we're dealing with certain issues, especially when we're upset with somebody. And, you know, I'm really trying our best not to give, you know, full vent to your anger either, because sometimes, especially as women, we get mad enough, you know, we're going to let everybody around us have it, you know, and they used to say sometimes the woman's anger is like the hell scorn. So, you know, we know how we can be when us women get going. But, you know, we don't want to give in to the full vent of our anger. We want to try, you know, to, you know, calm down first. And I know sometimes it can be hard. If you can't get there, just walk away. But, you know, Proverbs 29 and 11, that's another good scripture. It says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. So you want to be the wise person. You don't want to be the fool who just says everything that's in your mind and in your heart. You know, you hear a lot of people that say, I just say what I want to say, and that's just what I do. That's just how I am. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with being who you are, but there's something wrong when you feel like it's okay to just, you know, say whatever's on your mind and not consider how you could hurt the other person just because you're upset. You know, and I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect, because I used to be that way, you know, but then I had to come to grips with that and realize that, you know, as I got older and began to mature, I had to realize that, you know, this isn't right. You know, when I talk to people, I need to just kind of take a deep breath and think about it first, because I may not even realize, you know, what I'm angry for. It could be something so simple, you know, and so we have to always kind of keep ourselves, you know, prepared. It actually, it's a safer place to just be mindful of what you say, period. You know, it's a safer place to just stop, take a deep breath, and think about it before, you know, you go on with how you're feeling. So I know sometimes, you know, we get in a place where, you know, we can be around a lot of negative people, and sometimes it's a little hard to separate yourself from that, especially if the negative people are in your workplace, or if it's family member that live in your same household, you know, or are good friends of yours that you want to get them safe, so you're trying to hang around them, but yet you don't really know, you know, what to do, and it just kind of irritates you. I mean, there's times that these things happen. It's just reality. You know, when you get into a place like that, you know, you're going to have to learn how to take time to take in the thought. Gosh, you know, how do I respond to this, you know, or if they do upset you or offend you, you know, why are they doing this, you know? But we have to realize that when we get saved, we become the vessel of Jesus. We are a vessel that he uses. We are the mouthpiece that he uses here on earth. So we want to always be not necessarily preaching when we're around our friends, but we want to always be that light and be that guide. And we have to realize that, you know, sometimes we just need to take our time and think about what we got to do. The battle, you know, it's not ours. We need to always give it to God. And so I'm going to take a little break here, and I'm going to go to play a song by Yolanda Adams called The Battle Is Not Yours. And then we'll be back and we'll start to discuss the church hurt. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. That is one of my absolute most favorite songs, especially when I'm dealing with, you know, different situations in my life. Now we're going to kind of get into the having church hurt side. You know, my mom's going to take over and just kind of share some information with you. You know I don't like for this to sound like a Bible study, but one thing that I've learned that the best way to operate through your life is through the Word of God. So that's the reason why I use so many scriptures through this talk show. So we're going to get into this side and write down, you know, these scriptures. And, you know, like I said, just take them in and start to memorize them, because it'll be awesome for you. You know, it'll be beneficial. So add this as fruit to your tree. So we're going to get ready to talk about church hurt. Okay, Vinda, Mom, what do you have for church hurt?
Okay, first of all, I want to start out by saying, stay ready to forgive anyone for anything. And if you look at Ephesians 4 and 31 through 32, I'll talk about that in a few minutes. I want to say, when many come to church, they're already broken. A lot of times, they're dealing with problems at home and at work, you know, like outside issues, and they come to get edified. They need to be built up. They need to be strengthened. And a lot of times, since we are an imperfect people, someone may say or do something which could cause offense to someone, causing them to become church hurt, not wanting anything to do with church or Christianity. If this happens to us and anger rises up, the first thing we need to do is pray about it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Pray for those who've hurt you. Pray for God to remove the hurt feeling so you can forgive from your heart, because you really need to have that forgiveness from your heart. Otherwise, you're going to carry a grudge. And those hurting thoughts will start to consume you, and you'll remain angry, and anger can hinder your growth in God. And we don't want to do that. So back to Ephesians 4 and 31 through 32. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So you might want to write that scripture down, so that you can look at it and read it and get it in your heart, just in case you ever become church hurt, because it can help.
And that's true, because there are some people in the church that will set you on a path. They'll have you ready to go straight to the devil and just camp out there, you know, because there's some people who just make you that mad. But we have to, you know, just stop and be like, all right, you know what? I'm not doing this with you today, you know, or, you know, just let it go, because some people are just don't have the wisdom, and they just tend to, you know, say whatever's on their mind. And we always sometimes think, you know, just like my mom was saying, people come in, they're already broken. Well, they don't know if they're talking to a minister in the church or a preacher or a pastor or an evangelist or whatever gift, you know, that might be in the fivefold ministry. You know, and sometimes because they're broken, they tend to just confide their feelings into certain people. Well, you can't guarantee necessarily that those people have the wisdom. Actually, you really can't even guarantee that some of the people that are on staff or above you have that wisdom.
Right.
You know, that's why you have to be careful not to just trust people so fast and just respond. You know, you get some things you just got to really sit and think about and just let it go. The best way to deal with that. And this is the last scripture that I will give today. It's Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. If you don't know what to pray, all you got to do is pray this scripture. When you feel like you're upset, you feel like you're getting angry, and you don't know what to do with yourself, what you can ask the Lord is, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we know that everlasting way is what would the heart of Jesus do? You know, I know everybody remembers when we had that huge wave of WWJD. Everybody was wearing bracelets, T-shirts, hats, bandanas, you name it, that it stood for what would Jesus do. You know, I don't really see that anymore like we used to in the past. But what would Jesus do? Consider that the next time that you begin to get upset. What would he do in this situation? You know that he will always protect you. Know that you can give your life towards to him, and know that you can be safe knowing that God will always lead you in the right direction, the everlasting direction, the direction that will lead you to heaven, the direction that will lead you into a heart that's like him. You know, and this is what it is. We are in a race, y'all. We're in a race. We are pressing toward a mark. We'll never be perfect, but we will always strive to do our best and always strive for perfection. And we could always walk upright and be righteous people if we just lean on God and lean on the cross, you know, and know him and just remember what he is. But lean on the heart of God, know and trust that God will always direct you the right way. And, you know, so I just want to encourage somebody, you know, that if you are feeling this way, you know what? It's okay. It's okay to be angry, but do something about it. Just rise up one day and decide and tell yourself, I'm going to do something about it. I will not continue my life being hurt. And just give it to God. So the last and final song that I'll be playing is by William McDowell. He is just awesome. And this song is called Withholding Nothing. But before I press play to this song and end out the broadcast today, I just want to say, you know, to all that, you know, may God cover you. May he give you peace. May God heal your heart, heal your brokenness. May he touch you to the depths of your soul and heal your broken wounds and give you and just patch up the wings that you have so that you can soar like an eagle. God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in today, and we will see you again next Saturday live at 9:30. And here is William McDowell with Withholding Nothing. God bless you.
I give.